buddy Dan Bickley here. Come Monday morning, will our basketball team still be alive? We'll discuss, and we will hope for the best, starting at 6 a.m. on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, how about that? Wolf. By the time we do our next show, the Suns could just be out, or they could be 2-2.
My goodness.
Isn't that crazy?
That's blowing my mind right now, honestly.
They could not be in the playoffs by the time we do the show on Monday if they don't wake up here real quick.
Oh, my goodness. I don't think that's going to happen, though. I don't. I think they're going to win tonight. I do. I've got a really, really good feeling about this. I think they're going to win tonight. I think their ire will be up. I think their intensity level is going to be at an all-time high. Let's see what it does. They got guys who have dealt with intensity, dealt with pressure their whole career. Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal. These guys know what is expected, and I expect them to deliver.
They are averaging 94 points a game this series. Now, you know, Minnesota is very, very, very good defensively, so it's not all just the Suns falling apart offensively. But, you know, anybody that's watched these first two games, they don't look like they're on the same page consistently on offense. Here's Sham Sharania from the Run It Back podcast.
My understanding is the Suns' offense is a cause of concern internally right now, and the coaching staff, they're going to have to figure this out. If this team is going to have any chance in this series, they're already down 2-0. You look at two plays, one in the first half, Yusuf Nurkic really goes ISO on Rudy Gobert, misses. Really a play where you had multiple guys potentially open on the wing for opportunities. And then later in the second half, in the fourth quarter, Drew Eubanks kind of misses Kevin Durant wide open, goes for a spin move, misses badly as well. Those two guys shot 19 times last night. Their usage rating, you look at the Suns' usage rating, Booker 23.9, KD 23.3, and then Drew Eubanks 22.5. So the usage rating just doesn't seem like it's in a great place right now around the Suns, just figuring out structure.
You know, of everything that cut just entailed internally.
Yeah.
What does that mean? What does that portend, Luke? Well, internally.
I mean, that
it's an
it
area
makes it
of concern
sound a lot
internally.
Bigger, doesn't it? Like, oh, the internally, they're thinking the offense they're running isn't working. Now, they've scored 94 points a game for the first two games of the series, 95 and 93. So, yeah, I'm guessing they're probably not rolling into game three like, oh, we got this. Another 94 points tonight and we'll show them. I'm sure they're a little upset.
Yeah, but what do you think, Mel, internally? What does that mean?
It reminds me of DeAndre Ayton and Monty Williams. Internal.
You know, I
bringing me back okay, to that. So,
that's why I have such a bad reaction to that word.
Right, okay. Internally. So what does that mean, based on earnings? Is that the entire organization? The entire organization, including Matty Ish. Is that what's happening right now internally? Or is it internally? Is it James Jones and Frank Vogel? Or is it just Frank Vogel and his staff? Or is it the players inside the locker room internally? Can I have a bit of a definition on what that means internally?
Well, you can ask Monty.
It's a concern.
Monty Williams, but he's going to give you what Aaron just said. He's going to give you the it's internal answer. And this time it would actually be technically correct.
Yes. What do you mean, Monty Williams?
Remember when after the whole game 7 against Dallas, he's like, it's internal.
Right. But that's not.
That's it.
We're talking about this right here. He just reported
the fact
that
it was internal. You said you wanted the definition of why.
I see. The definition, of course.
Yeah. Now, here's as you're running through what it could mean, and you're like, is it James Jones? Is it Frank Vogel and his staff? Is it the players?
Yeah.
Don't you kind of think it's the players? I mean, I just can't see Frank Vogel being like, I'm so upset. Give me Shams. I want to tell him how upset we are and how we're having problems.
Yeah. I
more likely a player would leak that.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what to say. I really don't, based on means. I do know right now we've seen a lot of ISO ball, right? We've seen ISO ball to some degree here, and we've seen the ball get sticky with the Phoenix Suns. And you know what? I don't think you necessarily have to turn away from ISO ball. Now, listen, do you have to move the ball and have it all? Do it all. You know the way I feel about this stuff. You never want to become predictable in anything. Yet at the same time, when the shot clock is winding down, I want either Devin Booker Kevin Durant or Bradley Beal to take that shot.
Yeah.
The vast majority of the time. Now, Grayson Allen, I'd love to see Grayson Allen pick it up right here. Okay? I'd love to see him
3 points
pick
for the
it
series.
Up. Yeah. Absolutely. It's got to do better than that, right?
But you're right, though. With your season on the line, it's one thing to say, hey, I want my best player taking all the shots. Like, okay, well, sometimes that best player is going to be in a bad position to take the shot.
Yes.
He's not gonna. But
yes.
They've got three. You've got a big three. One of them is going to be open enough every time. And, you know, assuming all three of them are on the floor at the same time. One of them is going to be open enough where one of those guys should be taking the shot. Your season's on the line tonight. You're at home. Your season's on the line. As we detailed earlier, it's not over. If you win, you're right back in the series. So it's legitimately on the line. Like, you're probably done if you lose, but you're right back in it if you win. So it's like, it's there.
See, but once again, you can't say you're probably done. You're probably done if you lose. You know what? As a player, I'm like, I'm never done, Luke. I'm never done.
You're the only There's reason no I said way. Probably.
I know, exactly.
You're the only reason.
And the reason why he said that is because I've talk to Luke about this many times, that don't ever count me out. I'm going to compete to the bitter end, and somebody is going to go down 3-0 in an NBA series and come back and win it at some point in time. It is going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. It just hasn't in the last 151 series.
I just don't want to test it. I don't want to be like, all right, Suns got them right where they want them.
You know, again, you have to. Luke is a numbers guy, ladies and gentlemen. He just brings up numbers and throws them out there in these stats.
You know where I originally got that number from?
No.
You, last year. And I'm going to take this number from Sarah. I don't know if you heard it in her update. Teams down 0-2 in a series, which the Suns already are, only win 7.3% of the time. That's really low.
Come on.
Like, I know.
I thought you said 17.3. No, are you sure?
I think it was 7.3.
It was 7.3?
7.3, yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Okay. So you're telling me I got a chance.
Generally speaking, in the NBA, I get it. Usually, it's the most predictable of the sports, right? The NFL, one game playoffs, it's not really that predictable. Hockey, the lower seed typically wins. You know, baseball's, I guess, fairly predictable. The NBA, generally speaking, you kind of know who's going to win the series after a couple games. But that number's really low. I don't feel like the Suns are out of it yet.
No.
Down 0-2. I really
no
don't.
I don't feel like there's a 7.3% chance. Having said that, though, Devin, can I talk to you for a minute over here?
I got this number for you.
Can I? Hey, guys, you know what? Listen, if I'm Frank Vogel, I'm standing up in front of the team. Can I see Bradley, Devin, and Katie for a minute over here? Would you step into my office? Did you know 7.3%? I mean, there's no way.
They're definitely not going to look at you as the coach when you're telling them that number.
If that won't get the Phoenix Suns right and get them focused and get them intense, and I'm talking about from the very beginning, I want to know what's going on.
Yeah, all 48 minutes tonight should be just
all
relentless.
All 48 minutes. I want to see it tonight.
What are you pacing
and
if yourself
we don't
for?
See it. Luke, what does that mean?
If we don't see it tonight, we're not going to see it. That's why I'm saying if they go down 3-0, yes, the number's 0-151 for any NBA team. But the other part is if the Suns can't, if they can't conjure up a win tonight, there is no reason to believe they're going to conjure up four straight over this same team. The Suns' season's on the line. Minnesota's got nothing to lose tonight. They don't have any pressure. This is every second of this game. You would like to see the Suns in control.
Yeah, you know what, too? I know in the game of football, and I would imagine it's the same thing. It's the same way, is it not, in the game of basketball? It's a physical game. Basketball is physical. Athletically, you're throwing yourself against another dude, and you're banging. Okay, not banging as much, of course, as the game of football or hockey. We all understand that, but don't tell me basketball is not physical. It is a physical game.
It's exhausting.
Especially when you play 82 games.
Yeah.
Okay? So, man, anytime you play in a physical sport, you're going to show emotion, right? You can't keep it in. You can't. And if I don't see that tonight, man, I got
that
a
tells
ton
you all you need
of
to know.
questions. Yeah.
No, you're right. It tells you all you need to know, but it also answers, it also raises more questions. And what I was saying earlier, I don't feel like the Suns are out of the series yet. I mean that, but I also don't really feel like they're in this series yet. It doesn't feel like it's fully started for them.
Hey, prove it.
Join Burns and Gambo at FanDuel Sportsbook downtown Phoenix tonight from 2 to 6 p.m. The first 50 fans who come down and show their Arizona Sports app will score a limited edition Phoenix Suns playoff shirt. For complete details, head to the contest page on arizonasports.com. When we come back, what did Dave Pasch think of the Cardinals' first round last night? We're going to ask the voice of the Cardinals. He'll join us next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, it's Mitch. Darius Robinson is officially an Arizona Cardinal. How will the Mizzou edge rusher play into the Cardinals' defense? Burns and Gamble will give you their thoughts, while they're also getting you ready for Game 3 of Suns Timberwolves live from the FanDuel Sportsbook at Footprint Center, all coming up at 2 on Arizona Sports.
Yeah, kind of a busy day right now. April 26th, they got Suns Timberwolves Game 3 from Footprint Center. You got Round 2 and 3 of the draft tonight, Wolf. So the Cardinals have 4 more picks, in theory, coming up tonight, unless they move around. Dave Pasch, voice of the Cardinals, joining us right now on the Arizona Sports Line. Dave, thank you for the time. What's going on?
I'm just heading to L.A. for Game 4 tomorrow, but, man, what a home run last night. The first round for the Cardinals. I don't think it could have gone any better for the Cardinals last night.
So, David, talk to us about Marvin Harrison Jr. I agree with you and your assessment of it. I thought it went fantastic for the Cardinals, but talk about Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, I did the Cotton Bowl for ESPN this year, and the two teams that played in the Cotton Bowl were Ohio State and Missouri.
David? Are you?
Maybe he's in L.A.?
No way.
Maybe he got to L.A.
Okay.
No service
right
in L.A.
There. Boy, he was right there,
is
too.
Is he driving to L.A.? Maybe he's in, like, Quartzsite right now.
I don't know. I would imagine. Yeah, there's a possibility he's driving over there. I mean, but why not just jump on a plane or something like that?
Dave Pasch.
I'm on a plane.
Just walk up and be like, hey, I'm Dave Pasch. And they're like, here's your seat.
David, are you there?
I am. Where did I get lost?
Well, Ohio State and Missouri. Beginning. Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry. So, did the Cotton Bowl for ESPN, Ohio State and Missouri, and Marvin Harrison didn't play in the game, but we talked to a lot of people about him, and we watched a lot of tape on Marvin Harrison. And whether it was Ryan Day or Urban Meyer who was there, everybody spoke glowingly about Marvin Harrison, the person, as well as the player. And a lot of the same things were said about Darius Robinson. And then I watched Darius Robinson play in the game and came away so impressed and was actually talking to one of the Cardinals personnel folks the next day, because that was the weekend the Cardinals played the Eagles. And I brought up, I said, hey, have you seen this kid, Darius Robinson? And the person told me, oh, yeah, we're well aware of him. I think you've got two guys, Wolf and Luke, that are ready-made, two guys that you can plug in right now and can play and can handle their business, who are going to be pros, who are going to be leaders in their own way, and make plays. I was surprised a little bit that I think with the quarterbacks going as quickly as they did, I thought all of them would go in the top 20. I didn't think all of them would go in the top 13 or whatever it was. But you've got first-round talent on the board where the Cardinals are picking here in the second round. So I mean, you've got a chance to get three guys that you can start or play a lot week one.
We're talking to Dave Pasch. Dave, I think sometimes, you know, home crowds or even media members tend to overvalue the players on the home team. But I feels like sometimes here in Phoenix, we almost undervalue them, where we expect the other shoe to drop because, you know, fans feel like they've been burned a few times in the past. I got to say, like, this offense could just be electrifying with Marvin Harrison Jr. out there. Are we allowing ourselves to really even fully embrace the upside here?
Well, you draft a receiver that high, and the reason you do is you feel like this is a game changer. Otherwise, you're not taking a receiver as high as 4.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Ja'Marr Chase, and you had Joe Burrow, but you think of what Ja'Marr Chase did for him. And I think Marvin Harrison can do a lot of the same things for Kyler Murray. And, you know, I'd seriously consider a receiver where the Cardinals are picking in the second round. Because, again, I think you have a couple of guys that are first-round guys that are there, in my opinion anyway, along with, you know, again, other positions that can help your offense. So, I think this offense, look, what we saw from Kyler when he came back, it probably is unfair to really gauge what we saw and try to forecast, because he's coming off a major injury for the first time. Now he's got the full offseason. He's got what I think, and I'm sure most people would agree, is, you know, number one receiver now. You've got Trey McBride, who's growing and becoming one of the better tight ends in football. You got an offensive line that's coming into shape here. Yeah, they could be dynamic in offense for sure.
David, it's so interesting because I heard you talking about Darius Robinson, of course, and I've heard that Darius Robinson is a dog. I mean, like a dog. Have you heard that at all?
Yeah, I mean, we're doing the game and watching him leading up to the game, talking with Eli Drinkwitz, the head coach of Missouri, talking to the coaches, because that's part of our prep, is we meet with the head coach and the coordinators, and we spend a lot of time, you know, watching tape and talking to different people about guys. And, yeah, I mean, there's a toughness and a motor. He lost 15 pounds, and he's still, I think, 290 or 295. He is excellent. And again, I think a guy you can plug in right away and he will play and play well. I think they've got two guys that, like, I'm not worried about. You know, sometimes you take guys that were injury risks or there was a red flag for something, but you know, you take them because, well, they dropped, you know, he'll work with us. He'll fit our system or our culture. I don't think you need to worry for a second about either guy adapting to the NFL life.
David, I'm going to go ahead and ask Mel if she will send you a cut, okay, for your own phone right there where you can actually open it and listen to it, because it's incredible. We listened to a cut. Luke played it of, well, if you want to, yeah, listen to this cut right here of Darius Robinson, okay? Listen to this, David, and listen to this guy's preparation when you think of a dog. Do you think
so? We just played on Saturday, right? So after that Saturday, I'm probably at the facility. I just got out of the cold tub. I'm watching the game. Okay, then I go home. Sunday, I'm going to church. After church, I'm coming back. I'm getting my massage and getting my lift in. After I get my lift in, I'm going back upstairs, watch the game one more time. After that, I let it go. Then I go home and I watch the last four games of the team we're about to play. When I watch that game, I'm looking at their tendencies. I'm looking at where the tight end is at. If I get a run pass key, what do the alignments look like? What are, like that. And then Monday, Tuesday is my run day. So I'm looking at their top three runs and what does it look like and where it's coming at. And then basically, if I play a five technique or if a four eye, what block would I get? Then we get to Wednesday and Thursday. That's my pass rush day. So for me, I'm always thinking about my tracks. So my tracks is, if I'm on my speed track, that means I'm 2 yards outside whatever alignment. And then my aiming point is 4 yards behind his back foot. So now I'm thinking how I'm going to set him up. Or if I go on my power track, I go 2x2. I'm 2 yards outside of tackle, and I'm aiming 2 yards behind his foot and thinking about how I'm going to set him up. So at the end of the day, I really studied offensive linemen, but it's all about me and it's all about my tracks. And as long as I get to that point before he gets there and make it fast and violent. Then we get to Friday. Friday is just takeaways. I want to see all the ball strikes. I want to see the ball coming out. I want to see just the ball on the ground, any takeaways they have for the week. Then by Friday night, I'm turned up. And then Saturday, I walk out and I just feel more confident than ever because I know guys are not getting reps mentally and are not locked in. So that's why when I step on the field, I have just a elite confidence about my preparation. Because at the end of the day, all that work will not fail you. So why would I be scared or why would I have any type of anxiety? So then when I put it on, and that's why I say when people ask me what position I play everything. I just need alignment and it's on. I'm getting in my alignment, I'm playing fast, and I'm playing physical.
Is that awesome, David?
Dave's in LA by now, actually.
Yeah, sounds like Wolf. He can go, man. He can talk. It's not surprising. I mean, that's everything that we saw and we're told. And it goes back to Wolf, my point earlier about you've got a guy that's a pro. Like, there's no adjustment needed. Meaning, I mean, I'm sure the NFL, there is an adjustment in a sense, but like he's already been prepping like an NFL player. This has been his job.
Right.
He gets it. He gets it.
Dave, great stuff as always, man. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. See you.
Okay, David.
That's Dave Pasch joining us right there on the Arizona Sports Line. When we come back, what does Marvin Harrison Jr. hope to bring to the Cardinals when he steps onto the field for the first time? You're going to hear what the team's newest weapon said next. It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Wolf and Luke with today's MLB standings. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one residential and commercial roofing company. They've got you covered.
That's going to get interesting now. NOS standings, Dodgers 16-11, Padres 14-14, 2.5 games back. D-backs and Giants both 12-14, so 3.5 games back of LA, and then the Rockies are 7-19, 8.5 back. But Wolf, the Diamondbacks have the Mariners tonight in Seattle, then a homestand against the Dodgers and Padres. So the two teams right in front of them in the standings are coming up after this weekend series in Seattle against the Mariners. Now, before we get to football, Sarah just did the update again. It is 17.3% of teams down 0-2 in a series have come back. So better than the 7.3%.
Yeah, right.
Still not great. But at least better. Maybe next update it'll be 27.3%.
Yeah, 17.3% of the time, teams that are go down 2-0 or 0-2, I guess, come back and win the series, ladies and gentlemen.
In the NBA, yes.
And I butchered that as well. But you know what? Hit the post, Ron, will you please?
When is a Friday a Saturday? That's today.
Here we go right now. This is awesome, though. This is great. Here we go. The Arizona Cardinals, by the way, they drafted Marvin Harrison Jr. Does that not jack you up?
He's going to be on the show in an hour and a half. He's going to join us. Let me point some of this stuff out while you drink that coffee. And
okay,
then,
thank you.
If you find more coffee, I might even try it
today.
Okay, good. Kevin Ray is going to join us next hour. We're going to carry the Marvin Harrison Jr. Darius Robinson presser at 12:30.
Okay.
Then Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to join us after that on the show in the 1 o'clock hour.
How cool is that right there, man?
Got a lot of moving parts here. It's going to be fun. He talked on ESPN Radio after he was drafted by the Cardinals last night. And you heard the cut right there that Sarah played. Like, Kyler's fired up, and he should be for the weapon he just got. But Kyler posted videos. Cardinals posted a couple of just how excited he is. You know Paris Johnson Jr. is fired up for this because he's been talking about it for almost as long as we have. Marvin Harrison Jr. seems pretty excited as well.
I'm just going to try to help make his job easier, really. Go out there, make the contested catches, get open. I'm going to run fast and score a touchdown, help the team win. That's what I'm trying to do on my end.
Run fast, score touchdowns.
Man, I love that right now. But honestly, in theory, again, he gives Kyler Murray a true target, man, on the outside. He gives Kyler Murray a true target on the outside, a true wide receiver one. Not only that, he gives this offense a chunk throw option with play action in rundown situations. A chunk throw option. It's not always a nine route down the outside, ladies and gentlemen. It's not always a post over the middle of the field. I'm talking about, how about a deep in, the dig route, a deep in. Man, those are chunk throws to me right there. Chunk throw options. And that's what he's going to give this offense, because you're going to be attacking the line of scrimmage with James Conner running the ball. You have an elite rushing offense in the NFL, top five in the Arizona Cardinals. They're going to be attacking that line of scrimmage, which now we're going to throw it over your head when you suck up using play action. See, and now Kyler Murray's going to have a true wide receiver one, an option on that outside for some chunk throws. In theory, now Marvin Harrison Jr. has got to prove it. He's got to go out and he's got to play.
Yeah.
He's got to prove he's worth it.
Well, the other thing this does is you've given Kyler weapons now. And, you know, I know the running joke, because the name I just kept throwing out there for the last 2 months was, I don't want to go into next season with Ladd McConkey as my number one receiver. If they were to draft him now, though,
man,
I'd be all over that.
I love the fact you just said that, because
he's out there.
I was thinking 35.
Yeah, he's out there.
I'm thinking 35 right now. 35. Ladd McConkey out there at number 35.
I'm just saying.
Do we have a beautiful part of the program where we're going to talk about who they might actually take at 35? Are we going to
do that later in the show today?
We're going to do that later in the show, right?
Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia.
After showing out at the Senior Bowl, the 6 foot, 186 pounder doubled down at the NFL Combine behind an impressive 4.39 second 40-yard dash time. Viewed more as a slot man at the NFL level, McConkey is coming off 478 yards and 2 touchdowns on 30 catches last year at Georgia as injuries impacted his production. He was, however, a massive part in Georgia's run to a national championship, scoring twice in the Bulldogs' win over the Horned Frogs in 2022. The wide receiver's route running ability alone should have NFL teams salivating at the chance to take him. NFL comp, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Elijah Moore.
This 2024 NFL Draft Player Profile is brought to you by Bud Light.
But what they've done, I'm kind of thinking, I mean, they got four picks in the next 58 picks.
Yeah.
Four of the next 58 belong to the Cardinals. So they certainly could take a risk. And if you look
at great.
There's a lot more than just Ladd McConkey that's out there at receiver that they could take. I mean, what, Keon Coleman, Adonai Mitchell, Troy Franklin's out there.
Oh, man.
There's quite a few receivers if they wanted to get one
Mitchell,
in the third round.
The kid from Texas, yeah. Right? Yeah, you know what? Those
He's
two wide
quick.
Receivers, I know.
He might go first.
But you know what? Ladd McConkey's so different. He is different. He really is. You know, again, when I think of 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, three wide receivers, you're going to tell me you have James Conner as your running back, you have Trey McBride as your stud tight end. Now you've got, on the outside, Marvin Harrison Jr. And over on the other side, you've got Wilson, right? You've got mm-hmm. him. And now you're going to take Ladd McConkey and you're going to put him in the middle? You're going to let him work that slot? Oh, my goodness.
And then you have Greg Dortch as your number four. Like, I love having Greg Dortch.
Exactly.
I just didn't want him as my number two receiver,
yes.
You know? Here's more from Marvin Harrison Jr. on the conference call. Talked about being reunited with former college teammate Paris Johnson Jr.
I mean, it's really awesome. I got a text. I haven't got a chance to talk to him yet. But it was kind of like a full circle moment. I think last year before he even got drafted, you know, he was leaning towards Arizona. And I was telling him how cool that would be. You know, we could play on the same team. So it's crazy a year later that, you know, we all made it work.
And what do you think of Kyler Murray?
That is awesome, man. I think you look at his record from high school, he's always won. And they're the kind of guy that's wanted to play with, man. He's just so dynamic as a quarterback. And I just want to go in there and make his job easier as much as I can.
Maybe this was just always meant to be, Wolf, because I now am thinking back to when Matt Prater missed those kicks against the Seahawks. And yeah, okay, this sucks. You're losing to the Seahawks. But now the Cardinals are picking fourth. And it was Marvin Harrison Jr. who liked that post by NFL on Twitter that, hey, okay, Matt Prater missed a couple kicks. Marvin Harrison Jr., like.
Yes.
And here we are.
So what is he going to do? What is Marvin Harrison Jr. going to do for this offense? Number one, he's going to give Kyler Murray a true target, a true wide receiver one. That's what he's going to give him. Number two, he's going to bring in offense, a mentality of chunk throw after chunk throw. That's going to be in rundown situation. He might be his most dangerous in rundown. First and 10, second and 1-6. And then not only that, hopefully, should he make the adjustment to the NFL, he's going to provide aid, comfort, and shelter to every other receiver on the field. He's going to create space. If, in fact, he makes the adjustment to the NFL, he's going to create space for every other guy on the field, including Trey McBride.
That's it? Just all of those things?
Yes.
that to me is worth the pick at number four. Join Burns and Gambo at FanDuel Sportsbook in downtown Phoenix tonight from 2 to 6. The first 50 fans who come down and show their Arizona Sports app will score a limited edition Phoenix Suns playoff shirt. For complete details, head to the contest page on arizonasports.com. When we come back, does Darius Robinson fit the violent mentality Jonathan Gannon preaches for his football team? It's Wolf and Luke on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
It's Mitch. Darius Robinson is officially an Arizona Cardinal. How will the Mizzou edge rusher play into the Cardinals' defense? Burns and Gamble will give you their thoughts, while they're also getting you ready for Game 3 of Suns Timberwolves, live from the FanDuel Sportsbook at Footprint Center, all coming up at 2 on Arizona Sports.
All right, Cardinals pick 35th tonight, then they pick 66th, 71st, and 90th. And, of course, tonight starts with the 33rd pick, so they're going to pick very quickly. Wolf, We have to at least address the fact that Graham Barton went one pick before the Cardinals pick. We haven't talked about it on this show.
Yeah, that was stunning. That was. There it was. And I had this feeling. I had this feeling it was going to be the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
That we're going to pick Graham Barton, of
course. Probably should have been, actually.
And then, you know, I was thinking it was going to be the Green Bay Packers and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. There it is. They also had an interior offensive lineman need, and that's exactly what they did. They took Graham Barton at number 26. 26, and the Cardinals were sitting there at number 27. I don't think I'll ever hear Monty say, we were going to take. I don't think we'll ever hear Monty say something like that.
Yeah.
Even if they were going to take Graham Barton at number 27.
It did rob us and the Cardinals of the opportunity to have the Grammet vertical offense. So that alone, Tampa should have waited.
Did you hear that?
Thought of it while you were talking.
Knock it off.
Yes.
Grammet vertical.
Oh, that would have been gold.
That would have been right now. Can you imagine? I mean, you got two guys that are, you know, a bit of a gut, and yet their feet are really, really good, and they're really, really, really strong. Will Hernandez and Graham Barton are your two guards. Let's eat, bruh.
They did, however, the Cardinals get Darius Robinson at 27, and they're pretty excited about him, and we've played some of the audio. I think, Wolf,
I love this kid.
I would say you're probably pretty. I heard some of the stuff last night, and I was like, Wolf's going to love this guy. Like, this guy is, he is made for Wolf.
He's a dog.
This is Jonathan Gannon talking about what he thinks of Darius Robinson's tape.
Violent. really good in the run and pass game, and can win in multiple spots in both the run and the pass game.
I mean, this is a Jonathan Gannon player, too. Here's more.
Yeah, we got a good plan for when he gets in here where we want him to be, but we got to get our hands on him and see, you know, how he acclimates into what we're doing, but really comfortable with the person first, because he's a war daddy. And what he's looking for, his attitude of coming here and just going to want to learn and grow, and whatever we ask him to do to help the team win, that's what he wants to do.
Man, I'd just like to watch some tape with JG. I would, honestly.
War
just,
daddy.
You know, let's go. Look at this guy. You want to talk about this violence? Look at his violence from this guy. It was one of the best things about a base underneath. He could walk in between the white lines and act like a savage. And nobody cared. And then, again, I say it all the time, but I have to. You step outside those white lines, and you love people and respect them, and you treat them better than yourself, my young crunks. It doesn't get any better than that. Man, I used to love that. Thank you, Lord God, for letting me step in between those white lines and tap into the primal side that you created us to be. And for me, man, I loved it. It was the best thing about the game. So when I hear JG, remember when they first hired him, remember, Mel, we had this conversation, the way they spoke, Monty and JG, the way they spoke, how aggressive and physical and violent it was, the way they would speak. And, you know, I've said this many, many times, but it's the truth. The Spartans, Basinonians, over in Sparta, ancient Sparta, of course, the Spartans believe that toughness started with terminology. In other words, what you called things mattered, and how you said it mattered. And it makes me think of Sparta when I think of JG in his terminology and how he speaks of the game of football.
But the fact that he just casually called him War Daddy, as if that was going to explain everything. Hey, he's got a good personality because he's a War Daddy.
Yeah, you know, for me though, Luke, the first cut you played, violent.
Just over and over.
Violent. He said, was it three times he said
here,
violent?
I'll just play it again. We can figure it out.
I mean, listen to this, Basinonians.
All right.
Violent. Really good in the run and pass game, and can win in multiple spots in both the run and the pass game.
See, you know, this is, once again, it's we all understand he's talking about on the field. He's talking about on the field, and this is how he plays. But this is what they want out of players. They want football players. This is why I love this. I absolutely love the culture that they're trying to build over here.
Okay, well, wait, there's more. Okay, so this is Eli Drinkwitz was on Bickley and Murata this morning.
You knew I was going to go off on culture right there.
I did.
Because I've had coffee now. You knew it.
You're drinking coffee and talking about culture at the same time. Who knows where this show's going to go? Eli Drinkwitz, Mizzou's head coach, was on Bickley and Murata this morning, and he talked about the fit Darius Robinson with Jonathan Gannon.
I think that was one of his biggest growths this year, is the ability to play violently, throw people out the club, as we call it. I think when you see, you know, the highlight reel of his sacks, he's running down the middle of offensive linemen and moving them off their spot. He is an extremely powerful player. I mean, he's got great play strength. Coach Gannon will love the violence that D-Rob plays with.
You know, I just think
what's going on
to something you have said in the past, Wolf, where you start to build this culture and then you start to know, like, you know, coaches at the college level, as you draft their players or talk to them about their players, they're going to tell you probably off the record if they really fit in what you're trying to do. It sure seemed, and maybe it's just a coincidence, that Eli Drinkwitz knows Jonathan Gannon, the type of player Gannon wants, because he's using Jonathan Gannon like buzzwords in that description of Darius Robinson right there.
Yeah. You know, once again, Darius Robinson, if he makes the adjustment to the NFL in Basedonians, he's going to have to make the adjustment to the NFL like every rookie. There are no guarantees. Go prove it, Rook. That's what I want to see. But if he makes that adjustment, he's going to provide some real pass rush swag to this defense. But his versatility is very intriguing to me, Luke, because he's 296 pounds. 296 pounds. Now, listen, they can line him up on the edge, and that's what they list him as, an edge player.
Yeah.
296 pounds as an edge player. That's not the edge. That's the brink. Okay? We can't call him the edge. We've got to call him the brink. Because you're on the brink of disaster.
Well, he's already War Daddy, now he's War Daddy of the brink.
At 296 right now. So where are you going to line him up? A true defensive end in a four-down look and let him go work on some tackles? 296 coming off the edge, maybe? Are you going to do that? Maybe you're going to line him up as a three technique on the outside shoulder of a guard and let him pass rush like Aaron Donald. Ooh. That's interesting. The Cardinals go with a bare front, often, where they cover the center and the two guards. You've seen this many times, right? They cover both guards and the center. Man, maybe you got Bilal Nichols, and you've got Justin Jones, and you've got Darius Robinson. Maybe you move him over one of the guards as a three technique where Aaron Donald lines up a lot.
Gannon talked after that pick last night about the versatility of Darius Robinson, how much he obviously values that. I want to play one more from Darius Robinson's head coach, though, Eli Drinkwitz, on with Bickley and Murata this morning, talked about character and leadership for Darius Robinson.
Yeah, I mean, he was the Arthur Ashe student athlete of the year. He's been consistently the male athlete, male, you know, role model for our university, accelerates the community service this past season, used his own NIL money to have a backpack drive for back to school backpack drive for students in our community. He's a give back, fully embrace the community type of person. He realizes what a blessing it is that he has this opportunity. But his character, two-time captain, we were doing our leadership class last week asking, hey guys, what are some of these, you know, who represents some of these characteristics? And we had more than one person said D-Rob represents all those, coach. And, you know, I think that's just a tribute to him and how seriously he took being a leader.
Wow, man.
Sold.
Once again.
sold.
A kid, right? Squared away. This is what Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And this is what he is like as well. This is culture. This is what it looks like. This is what it feels like. This is what it is.
These guys are the extreme. I mean, Darius Robinson especially is almost like the extreme version of that culture they're trying to build. And so you got to think, Monty, going through the draft and be like, okay, well, obviously Marvin Harrison Jr., what's he like as a person? Oh, he's the exact kind of person we want on this team. Then pick 27 rolls around, you need an edge rusher. Now, I don't know, maybe Darius Robinson's not going to be as good as Dallas Turner or whoever. I don't know. Nobody knows yet. But if they liked what they saw on tape, and they obviously did, and then they met the guy and he's talking this way, and I don't think it's for show. I think that's who he is. They must love this right now because you found two very talented players that fit their specific culture, which, Wolf, this is what you've been talking about for years. All right, we come back. Game three is tonight for the Phoenix Suns. Is this officially a must win? We're going to ask Suns broadcaster Kevin Ray. He'll join us next for Game Day with K-Ray. It's Wolf and Luke at Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.